The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
I feel like I would ask you to stay tonight, but I only have the sofa bed, and it's where I sleep.
But we'll have to sleep head to toe.
All fans on this station.
What do you want to ask the commissioner?
When's he going to juice the balls again?
So where's my jacket?
Oh, I must have left it at James's.
Spent the night at James's, did we?
Yeah, but we reversed positions, so there was no funny business.
I got one. Are we still pretending like you can't see genitals through the player's uniform?
Yeah, classic. Uniform questions, hard-hitting journalism.
Yeah, and you know how much I love talking about genitals, but I don't think that's going to make the interview either.
It's a great question, though, Josh.
I don't understand what's going on here.
Matthew.
Reverse position?
Yeah, you know, head to toe.
So what? Your genitals are still lined up?
No, because I slept with my back to him.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running around, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit.
It sounds like Joshy has been set up pretty nicely in Mexico. Considering the text messages he was sending us yesterday, bragging about his upgrade at the hotel.
Sent us some pictures?
Yeah.
Place looks lush.
Some snackies.
Cervezas?
which
one are those?
By the way, how did you spell?
That wasn't me.
That was you, all right. That was you talk to texting, right?
So it's on Siri. It ain't on me.
Let's see how Siri, quote unquote, spelled cervezas in our group text chain.
I don't know if you can repeat it.
I have it here. Ready?
No. I don't know if you can.
Yes.
The first one?
The first one is get a verbs.
What was the first one?
Get a verbs, which I don't even know. What is that supposed to be, Chew? Get a verbs.
You gotta ask Siri. All I said to her was cerveza. And
then it shows up crevices or crevice.
Yep.
C-R-E-V-A-S-S-E. And then serves. S-E-R-V-E-S. The whole time he was trying to say cervezas. And finally he goes, a beer. He got so fed up with Siri not being able to dictate cervezas that he wrote, a beer.
I'm surprised that you even... Most of the time, I just assume, Chew, you don't even look at how Siri spells it, and you just send it and move on with your day.
It's in the
universe. I'm surprised you even tried to correct it.
It shouldn't be that hard. I wonder if people in Mexico, is there the same problem down there when they speak Spanish to Siri that they butcher words, or she butchers words?
My guess is...
Do you guys have this problem? Or no?
I don't use talk to texts as much as you do. But the only time I talk to text is if I really feel like I need to send a text while I'm driving. I do it through the screen in my car. You know, you just hit it, send it, do
like
that.
Apple Play?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
CarPlay?
Apple CarPlay, Play, AirPlay, whatever it is. But I'm not constantly talking to text the way that you do, Chew.
And we're going to get, I think, to under or overrated teams in the NFL today. Is Siri overrated? I think she's grossly overrated.
Ooh, I don't think as many people use Siri. I know my mother-in-law does. So now we're starting to talk about an age area.
Thing.
We're starting to talk about an age thing. Maybe older people are using Siri. I just don't know that there are a lot of people using that feature to be able to over or underrate it.
I mean, Chewy fits in that demographic, though.
I guess so.
I mean, you
could have my ARP card.
You've got something better than an ARP card, buddy.
What's that?
Yeah. Yeah. What you showed us yesterday.
You've got your official license to show that you belong in the waiting room.
What? Because, I'm in Florida. Got it. I am now a Florida resident.
There it is. Yes. Which you sent us
your license.
Do I
have to buy the uniform?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wait, I don't even know what the uniform is, and I'm going to say yes.
It's got to be tube socks. Tube socks are involved.
Tube socks, 407, New Balance 407s. Probably some cargo shorts.
But what up? What up top? Is it just a plain T-shirt? Is it one that you get from one of those wings places? You had to walk into one of those wings stores where they sell beach towels and bikinis and buy one of those shirts. Is that the Florida uniform?
I think it's a collared shirt from like the 90s. You know, non-dry fit. Right, Gabe?
Just
real heavy.
Yeah. Polyester.
But I mean, maybe in Florida, it is more tank toppy. Like, I feel like you've got to, the gut's got to come out a little bit, big guy. You got to skip a couple of workouts and then have an ill-fitting
tank
top.
I'm out on tank tops. Because I was in the grocery store the other day, and this guy wasn't that old. He's kind of a scuff, but wearing a tank top, and he had like a rat under his arms. There was so much hair. It was disgusting. I'm like, a little self-awareness here. I know the older you get, the less you care.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some things you got to groom. Right?
Well, again, depends upon...
The problem is when you get old, Gabe, hair grows where you don't want it to grow anymore, and it falls out where you want it.
Sure. Yeah, so then you stop caring. What do you care?
I don't want hair coming out of my ears. That's a bad look.
Trim
fly hairs? I call them fly hairs. You know, the fly hairs that come out of your back?
Yeah, get one of those ear trimmers.
I have tweezers. Nose hair.
What are we doing? What are we doing? What is happening right now?
Do women get that, Jen?
Oh, my goodness. We're talking about hair growth?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, we're...
How did we get here? I don't even know. We're 6 minutes in. I don't even know how we got here.
Because Chewy was at
Florida.
He's in Florida. Saw the guy at the grocery store yesterday, had the hairy armpits, and said, hey, you got to groom some
things. Let me stop you right there, okay? Chewy, you don't like hairy armpits. It's a thing. It's a holdover from when you played. And so anyone who has hairy armpits is going to trigger you where it doesn't trigger most people.
Yes. Correct.
Okay, great. Let's move on. So Chewy is officially a Florida resident now. And I don't know if we're supposed to be celebrating that or if we're supposed to be mourning that. I feel like the great state of Wisconsin would like to still own Chewy. We would like to still claim Chewy. Can we still claim him because of the Packers connection? He will always be.
He doesn't belong to us anymore. He decided to be an old man, and he decided that he didn't want to, deal with this. He couldn't handle the cold, became soft, and moved down south.
Yes. All of that is true.
I was really hoping some of that would get under your skin.
Not a single note.
Just missed it all.
What does it mean when the lady at the DMV, after I take the eye test, she says to me, that's good enough.
That makes me think that the safe driver thing on your license is fraudulent.
Very good point. Excellent point by you. It didn't
good
say
enough.
Safe driver.
How do they determine that?
I have
do
no
they
idea.
Have that in Wisconsin?
I don't think I've ever seen that before.
They must look at my record and say, "Oh, no speeding tickets."
Yeah, I'm looking at
no
my
accidents
license.
That I.
I got, I'm looking at my license right now. There's nothing. Yeah.
You know what's interesting, though? They don't know that you do get pulled over, but that because you are a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck with that down in Florida, big guy, when you get pulled over down there.
But because you are a Super Bowl champion, you oftentimes get let off. They let you go with just a warning.
People in Wisconsin celebrate that 96 team. Guess what happens in Florida?
If they are monitoring tickets...
Good
it
point.
Might not be the most credible way to do so, is what I'm getting at.
Now, another thing I was surprised at was when you say you're an organ donor, in Wisconsin, they ask you what organs you would give up.
What?
They didn't do, because there's certain things I don't want
I don't know
anyone
that
to have.
I don't think
I
that's
think
true.
It is. I think it is.
Fact-checking this? Are we going to fact-check during, or are we going to fact-check after, CNN last night? What do we want to do here?
I mean, I updated my license when I moved, when we bought our house back in February. So, I had to go through that process of just renewing the license, and you just check a box saying, do you want to be an organ donor?
Right.
And then I've got, the little thing on the bottom that says donor. They didn't ask me.
So they have carte
blanche.
They can take whatever they want?
Correct.
I don't think that's right. I kind of remember them saying, how about your teeth? How about your liver?
Okay.
How about your heart?
Okay.
Most states give you the option to choose which organs and tissues to donate, but
yes,
I don't know if it's Wisconsin or not, though.
Is that true? I have never once been asked when volunteering to be an organ donor which organs I want to be donated. I thought it was just, I recognize that whatever the need is, is what is going to happen, is what you're going to take.
Because before it was like on your license permanently, it was just a little sticker that you put on there. Right? Like, they just give you the sticker at the DMV. Like, when I got my first license when I was 16, okay, I'm just going to put the donor sticker on, and here we go. We move on our day.
Well, what wouldn't you want to give out?
Well, if I'm going to be a donor, I don't care. Take whatever.
What do I care?
I don't care. No, my eyes. Because I always have that
belief that those are so
you're not really dead and you can come back.
Well, here's
there is a chance.
You just admitted that your eyes aren't that good to begin with.
He wears readers.
Yeah, you just told us that the lady at the DMV, when you did your eye test, went good enough.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's going to want your eyes anyway.
She laughed at me.
Well.
She laughed at me, too, and it was kind of funny
because
she was going through.
Did the lady ask you this time which organs you want to be donated? Is that what I'm missing here? Oh.
No, but I believe the last time I was in Wisconsin doing this, they asked me what organs, I think it was, what do you not want to give out? So it was kind of funny, and she laughed at me because she's going through this list. You want to be an organ donor, blah, blah, blah. Do you do this? And then she said, do you wear hearing aids? And I went, what? And then she chuckled at me. She said, do you wear hearing aids? And I said, probably should.
We got a lot of reaction rolling in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text this morning. It seems like people feel very strongly about Chewy officially being a Florida resident. We were first talking about what the uniform is. Clint weighing in saying the glasses that have the flip-up sunglass attachment are part of the Florida uniforms. Justin in Jacksonville saying, got to get yourself a good pair of flip-flops now. What most people don't know is that Chewy, you are a flip-flop guy, even when you're here in Wisconsin. You're not wearing athletic shoes, you're always wearing flip-flops.
Correct.
Alan says, I can deal with Chewy living in Florida, but if he starts toasting when the last team loses a game, he will be dead to me. That, of course, a reference to the Dolphins, who toast every year the last undefeated team loses a game. Florida's a no-fault state for vehicle accidents, and they don't even look at you until you're 25 or 30 miles per hour over the speed limit. So you got that going for you, apparently. Dave feeling very strongly about it, saying Chewy becoming a Florida resident is as bad as council going to the Cubs. You are a traitor, LOL. How do you feel about that, Chewy? How do you feel about that?
Tax purposes.
Oh, Justin was on to you. He said Chewy is going to file his taxes in Florida. That's why he did this.
There you go. Nailed it.
Somebody's figuring it out. Somebody's paying attention to the priorities in Chewy's life.
What are the priorities? His lawn?
Well, I'm not gone. We're not going to be full-time down here. Still, Wisconsin summer, there's no better place to be.
Not full-time, but most of the time.
Yes. 7 months.
Isn't it like 50.1%?
For tax purposes, you got to be down there most of the time. Yeah, like you happen to be down there today, but you're going to be back on Monday.
Stanley asking the important questions this morning on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line, 800-990-3776, if you want to get in with the show. Does this mean Chernobyl corn will be all alone?
Yeah.
And that's a long-time listener because we've been calling him Blammer most recently. Chernobyl corn is an old nickname, but also still applies, but obviously very concerned about his social life.
Yeah, we do everything virtual now.
Are you going to do virtual Thursdays?
They have been.
They have? I had no idea.
They've been doing virtual Thursdays during the winter when Softboy was down there in the warm.
What do you do?
But I have to bring him back a present every time.
Wait, how does this work? You just put the phone up and you're on FaceTime?
Or a computer.
You lugging the PC around, Florida boy?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I haven't get him a present this time. I'm thinking what I should get him.
What, new T-shirt?
Because he gets my mail. Now, unless it's neon green or neon orange, he's not wearing it.
Well, which brings me to my question for everyone this morning, 800-990-3776. How should we celebrate Chewy officially being a Florida resident? Went to the DMV yesterday, got his new license, and I think we should get him something. We've got some suggestions for things we could get him. Mm-hmm. Gabe, I think we need to brainstorm and figure out what we are getting Chewy as he has turned the page. He is officially now a Florida resident and not a Wisconsin resident.
Well, we're celebrating him going soft? That's what we're celebrating? That's what this has come to?
I don't think we should pick
and choose. No, think of me as a spy.
Excuse me?
Think of me as a spy.
How so?
Information, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You think I care about Tampa Bay? They're not even the best team in that division.
Also, what?
Not in the National League.
What that goes on in the great state of Florida do we want you reporting back to us about? Unless it's like Florida man stories and like this guy walked into a convenience store naked at 3:30 in the afternoon and da-da-da-da-da. Like, you can bring us that stuff that you see on your local news. But otherwise, I'm not sure there's a lot of stuff I need you bringing back here for me. Information-wise.
Tampa Bay's a playoff team. They could be facing Tampa Bay in the first round.
Tampa will not be a playoff team this year.
Atlanta is the best team in that division.
Correct.
I say Tampa's a playoff team. Baker Mayfield solid.
We'll write it down. You guys can have a side bet going on. We got to get to Jason Wilde. Lots of stuff going on regarding Jordan Love. I mean, the number of people who are on this guy's bandwagon keeps growing and growing and growing. But Michael Lombardi, who was on the Pat McAfee show earlier this week, says he thinks that this will be a tough contract to get done. And it is starting to feel that way. We talked to Jason Wilde yesterday. We're going to talk to him next about the Jordan Love contract and everything else going on at 12:65 right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You know we love Palermo's here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy because Palermo's has a slice for every appetite. Under the umbrella of Palermo's, they have Palermo's, Urban Pie, Connie, Surfer Boy Pizza, Screaming Sicilian, just to name a few. All delicious types and all different types of pizzas that they have. Look, they've been doing this for over 60 years right here in Wisconsin. So when it comes to tasty frozen pizza, they know exactly what they're doing. So find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's. Flavor is our family's business.
Ready? Down! Put!
All Packers. All the time.
He was a field-tilting player. And the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field. He changes the offense's dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Always great to check in with our friend and teammate Jason Wilde about the Green Bay Packers. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing on this Friday?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're good. Did you know Chewy is now officially a Florida state resident? He got his Florida license yesterday at the DMV. And that got us thinking, is the DMV, why do I keep saying DMB? Dave Matthews.
I was about
band.
To say, good I don't know, are you going to a concert this weekend?
Hey, my friends. No, DMV. Is the DMV as bad as people think it is? Have you ever had a bad experience at the DMV?
No, I don't think it's nearly as bad as people think it is. Although, I must admit, I made a pretty big mistake when I went to get my driver's license the first time. And that was, I told two of my best friends what time my test was, and they decided to follow me throughout my test.
Wow!
So that's not really the DMV's fault.
Those are good friends. Those are really good friends.
They were great friends, and it was hilarious. And I have to give them a ton of credit for being so funny back when we were both, when we were all 16 years old. But that's the only, and it's not even a negative memory because I love telling that story because it really depicts what kind of friend Steve was. But that's the only really DMV-related problem I've ever had, honestly.
That is a great story, Jason. Thank you for sharing that with us this morning. I think our loyal listeners could send in their very best DMV stories and no one would even come close to that. You getting your license and telling your buddies what time your test was and them following you around during the driving portion of your test is incredible. Thank you so much for that.
I hope I get credit for still passing the test despite that additional pressure.
At what?
But yes, it was fun.
At what point in your driving test did you realize they were behind you?
When I got into the car, they were parked directly behind me.
Did they wave? Hi, Jason.
Oh, yeah. Steve definitely waved. He was behind the wheel, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. But they were, he would later explain that he was just trying to be supportive, which was a pretty funny line in and of itself. But I did pass, and now the scary thing is that I'm getting to the age where the girls are on the cusp of learning how to drive and getting their driver's licenses. And being the helicopter parent that I am, I'm the kind of guy that would follow them around, more worried about them than trying to make them nervous.
Jason, talk to me about this NFL Sunday Ticket lawsuit, because I'm seeing both sides where, Gabe, was it Andrew Brandt said this won't affect the cap? Now I'm
Correct.
Seeing articles that it will affect the cap. The Packers' cut of this lawsuit is like $449 million. Which sounds kind of debilitating. Do I smell a stock sale? I mean, that's a big chunk of money. Do you know how much they have in the kitty?
Yeah, they're at like 700 and some million. I don't, like, first of all, I'm not a lawyer. I don't play one on the radio. But don't we think that this will get appealed
knocked
and
out?
This will continue to, well, it'll at least get, I would think, decreased. They certainly lost the first round, but I think there's more than one round when we're looking at lawsuits. And I don't know, David Gruber could explain this far better than I can. I would just say this. The NFL is a monopoly, right? Like, we all agree that.
Yes.
It doesn't matter that the UFL exists and all the other stuff. My issue with this would be, I think this underscores how they basically take as much money as they can from their fans. And I'm not saying I understand it's capitalism. I totally get that. But I was talking, I was on Rutledge at Hamilton yesterday. Molly Brown was in for Jim Rutledge and Matt, and she and I were talking about Ed Policy ascending to the presidency. And they asked me what Ed Policy they should institute when he becomes president, which I thought was kind of clever. And I went off on my typical rant of that the NFL and the Packers specifically, the Packers love their narrative about how they're owned by their fans. They don't have a deep-pocketed billionaire owner, all those things. But their actions don't match their narrative, right? They don't really do anything for those shareholders who ponied up the $250. They don't, like, it just, they like the story, but they don't really, their actions don't match it. And the NFL does commercials that talk about how the NFL is family. I don't know. I'm not an expert on family, but, you know, I would think that if you were, say, selling your Packers tickets to someone in your family, you would sell them at face value. You wouldn't inflate the price on them. And so they are a money grab organization as a whole, and they have maximized those TV contracts, not just to the benefit of the salary cap going up and players making more money, but more importantly, to the deep pockets of their billionaire owners of their various franchises. So look, this was a setback for them, no question. But again, it's not going to affect in the short term. Whether or not it ends up being a long-term impact on the salary cap and everything else, I think your instant reaction to the judgment is yes, right? Because that is a lot of money that they're going to have to pay out. But I think that this battle is not over yet.
Yeah, just for the record, post-trial motions, July 31st, there is one in there that is going to include setting aside the verdict. So to Jason's point, that is still happening. So the Packers have over $700 million. So even if, let's say, this goes terribly and nothing else happens and the Packers have to pay the almost $450 million, they can cover their end of that, is what you're saying, with what they have in the kitty.
So is it $450 million for each of the 32
per team.
Teams?
Correct, per team. $450 yeah. per team. Mm-hmm. So the $4.7 billion in damages for residential class, $96 million in damages for the commercial class, which would be like the bars and whatnot that paid for Sunday ticket.
Wow, I wish I would have gotten in on that. I would have made like $6.
So, it still stings, though, Jason.
Yeah.
Even if they have to pay $200 million, it's going to hurt.
Oh, no doubt it's going to. And again, I am sure, and I did not follow this case until I saw the news yesterday that they had lost, which isn't that part of the story here? Like, the NFL seems like it never loses. Like, they never lose. And it feels like this is one of the reasons why it's newsworthy is that they finally lost. And whether or not, like Gabe said, it gets set aside or the number gets reduced, I would be surprised if they don't end up paying something out, right? Wouldn't you?
I would not be shocked if they end up paying nothing.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Like, it just wouldn't be shocking if this like gets appealed and, you know, the higher courts say, no, the NFL was fine in what they did. Like, it just wouldn't be it wouldn't be shocking to me is what I'm saying.
Well, all I know is that it will not affect the Jordan Love contract, which, as we talked about yesterday, should be done before this is going through the court system.
Phew, thank goodness for that. Jason, excuse me, the 33rd team put out an article this morning saying best team at every NFL position headed into the 2024 season. It might shock you, it might not, that the Packers were not named at any of the positions as having the best unit at any of the positions. San Francisco 49ers have an awful lot of them. The Kansas City Chiefs have several of them as well. What position do the Packers have the best case of by the end of the year having the best unit?
Well, that's a really good question. So let me take this in a different direction briefly and just ask, have we inflated how good they are? Because I saw Orlovsky, not on our show when he was on without me, but on a different program that he was on, put the Packers in the second tier of teams. And I felt like, seeing some of the reaction from Packers fans, that there was a surprise to that for Packers fans. Like, they're not a second-tier team. They're a first-tier team. And I'm curious, are we, you know, have we, I don't want to say forgotten, because I don't feel like I've forgotten. I didn't forget what happened in the first half of the season. I didn't forget what happened against the Giants. I didn't forget that they almost blew that lead on Christmas Eve in Carolina. But is it almost as if their flaws have become less noticeable and we're more focused again on potential? And it's so different than where we were a year ago, where we had no idea what the hell they were going to be, that it's almost as if when you say something like that, that none of their players were the top player at the position, that shouldn't be surprising to me at all. And yet it kind of is, just based on the narrative of the offseason of what the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love. I mean, we just got done here in Tannenbaum. Of the 33rd team, say that there's no one else on the planet other than Mahomes that he'd want to start a franchise with now.
Yeah, but I guess it's not that shocking, though, Jason, because, yeah, where would that be? Yeah, they have depth at wide receiver, but there's still growth that needs to happen. I think there's still growth that needs to happen all around there. I'm still skeptical about the defense and some of the growth that needs to happen there. I'm optimistic about it, but there's nobody on this roster who's 100% established as, oh, yeah, I don't even have to worry about this the way that Rodgers would have been or Devontae would have been or Clay Matthews. Just like some of the guys that would have been considered the tops at their position over the years, they still don't have that across
the roster.
Well,
I guess I would make a case then towards the end of the season for maybe the defensive backs position. If you get Jair at the top, you know, at his best, if you have Xavier McKinney at his best, maybe you could combine the and say that the defensive backs would be their strong suit. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there as they are not listed on any of these as having the best unit at any of the positions right now. By the end of the season, could they?
But even though they have those two strong pieces, there are major question marks at the other safety position, at the other quarterback position.
Yeah, we still have to evaluate the defense because we got to place the blame, whether how much of it was Joe Barry or how much was it the players. We might go through this thing and their defense might be 15th again and go, oh, well, maybe it wasn't 100% Joe Barry. Maybe it was 50% and 50% the players.
A little salt in the wound here, as they did say that the linebacking core for the San Francisco 49ers is best in the league. That, of course, Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, and Devondre Campbell.
I think it has more to do with the first two than maybe the last one,
they
but I digress.
Well,
he's on the roster.
I'm just saying,
he's on the roster.
They included him in the best linebacker unit in the league. Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
When is Dre Greenlaw even going to play? He ruptured his Achilles in the Super Bowl.
That is an excellent point by you.
I mean, maybe he gets on that Aaron Rodgers plan, and he's back by midseason.
Or at least makes you think he might be back by midseason, and then isn't back at all. All right, guys, have a great day. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after this very program and on all the other shows here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune in to Hear District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and his son Chris, a 1995 UCLA hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world and are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer your questions too. Stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Hear District now, bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's
all right, let's check in with Craig Karmazin. I want to talk to him about the Bucks. Good morning, Craig.
By the way, Landworks is awesome, and I appreciate them sponsoring the segment.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So the Bucks obviously wrapped up the draft yesterday. They draft Tyler Smith, 19-year-old G League Ignite player with the 33rd pick in the second round. So between the two picks, did the Bucks get closer to a championship, or was that really not what this draft was all about?
Yeah, I haven't talked to anyone with the team, so I don't even know. My sense was when I heard the first pick that this is a veteran team. There's a bunch of young players who are trying to work their way into the rotation, right? Like when you look at Marjan, you look at Ajax, you look at AJ Green, and that when you have a veteran team like this and a veteran coach in Doc Rivers, it's going to take a little while to earn the trust and get in the rotation. So my sense was that they were going for guys with higher upside that may not be as ready, so that, you know, 3-4 years from now, they're likely to be bigger contributors rather than someone with a lower ceiling that could play today.
Craig, why didn't anyone touch Bronny James? Does LeBron have that much clout with only probably 2 or 3 years left to play in this league? If this was the NFL and say it was Mahomes' kid, someone would have grabbed them just to tick Kansas City off.
So
why was this such a big deal?
I think he is a player that deserved to be drafted around his spot. He could have been an undrafted free agent. He could have been drafted at number 35. And so I think it just didn't mean that much to any team to pick a fight with Rich Paul. I don't think this was about LeBron James and getting LeBron James mad. I think this is about getting Rich Paul mad, who is the most powerful NBA agent right now. And the talk of all this nepotism stuff, I don't totally get and think is fair related to Bronny James and LeBron James. I mean, think about like this company. Like, it wouldn't exist. I had nepotism to get an internship. I had nepotism to a loan that helped me start this company. Like, the owner of the Lakers, like, and the person who runs the Lakers day to day, her dad owned the team. And the fact that she got the job and is the CEO, there's nepotism involved. The new Packers team president, like, do you think there wasn't nepotism in him getting his jobs along the way to be able to work up to this? So the fact that this big deal is being made of Bronny James, I think is ridiculous.
Well, the reason why it's being made a big deal is because Rich Paul's the one who made it a big deal. Like, look, I have no doubt that if Bronny James wants to be an NBA player, he could be a good rotational player in the NBA. But the way the whole thing felt manufactured, from Bob Myers in his report yesterday saying that Rich Paul and the agency were telling teams, if you draft Bronny, he's going to go play in Australia. He's not going to come play for your team unless you were the Lakers and presumably the Suns. So the way it just all seemed so manufactured, I guess that's where I've got the issue with it. Because, yeah, to your point, Like, he, even if the Lakers didn't draft him, he would have ended up on somebody's G League team. He would have ended up in Summer League in Vegas. But because of everything around it, it just seems so manufactured. I think that's where I start to feel bad about it.
The word that jumps to my mind is contrived.
Yes.
It was so contrived.
So was it contrived that the Packers had a... was it contrived that the Packers had a search for their team president?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you're not. Everyone's not going crazy and screaming over that. Of course it was. There's a ton of things that were contrived. I mean, and it's fine if we're going to call out every single thing, but people this upset about the 55th pick of the NBA draft? I mean, come on. Like, no one cares about picks 1 through 54, but we only care about 55 because it's LeBron James' son? Like, LeBron James has earned the right to the extra spot on the roster, right? I mean, I think we've seen that, you know, with a lot of teams. And it's not just people's kids. It could be people's friends. It could be people's, you know, it could be a lot of people.
Are you just working your way away from brother? Is that what I'm hearing here? It feels like you wanted to say brother, but you're avoiding it on purpose. Like, I'm just going to call it like I see it here, Craig.
I was thinking cousin, but I think brother is an absolutely fair point to make.
So, Craig, if Bronny did go to the New York Knicks, what do you think would have happened? You think LeBron follows him to the Knicks?
I don't think anything would have happened.
He wouldn't have played, according to Rich Paul. He would have gone to Australia.
Going to Australia.
Do you believe that, though?
I don't believe that. I believe he would have played on the Knicks.
I don't either.
And that's what
Knicks,
I said. I would have called
the Knicks. Could have had him.
Like, if you actually liked him that much as a prospect.
Yeah, I don't think it would have been that big a deal. And if a team cared that much, they've drafted him.
So,
and we're not making this big a deal. The number two pick in the draft didn't work out for the team with the number one pick. And why are we not screaming about that? That was that manufactured to get Sarr to the Washington Wizards instead of the Atlanta Hawks, that he refused to work out for the Atlanta Hawks? I mean, this stuff goes on constantly.
Yeah, but also, like, LeBron, who has been on the record for, like, 2 years about how much he wanted to play for his kid, suddenly, 2 weeks ago, was like, oh, it's not that important to me to play with my kid. But obviously it is. Like, again, the whole thing just turned into a bigger circus than it needed to.
When you're a parent and your kid comes home and's like, dude, Dad, will you stop it? Now everyone thinks this. You're so annoying. I hate you, Dad. Like, and then you're a dad and you're like, and by that, I wasn't saying Bronny says that. I was saying I get that from my kid. Then you go and you're like, let me change what I was saying. I don't want to play with my kid. I mean, I'm really off that.
Sure, but I guess the only other question I have about Bronny is, if he's running a fast break and he's open, does he yell dad? Like on the court? Is he just yelling for the ball and LeBron's running the point? Does he go, dad, throw me the ball?
He has ball, he has unk, he has... I mean, do you know how many times he's played with his dad? I would guess he doesn't call him dad, especially because there's been this much talk about it. But, I remember as a kid when Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. played in the same outfield, and when they hit back-to-back home runs, and it was the coolest thing, like one of those like memories of my childhood. There was a fly ball where it was a pop-up and Ken Griffey Sr. was camped under it, and Ken Griffey Jr. sort of popped in front of him and grabbed the ball out of his hands, and everyone smiled and everyone laughed, and it was like this baseball and fatherhood and all that. I mean, can't we appreciate the joy of a moment of a guy this committed to his craft, who is such a self-made person in LeBron James, that he's worked so hard that from being a teenager – he has stayed healthy and at an elite level to be an all-NBA player. At the same time, his kid is an NBA-level player, and we'll see if he can actually play in the league. But can't we just marvel at that? Why do we have to pick at every single potential negative thing we can find?
You know what bothers me, honestly, is that the storyline that needs to be getting more attention is that now it's full circle. You know, the rumor back in the day was that Delonte West was sleeping with his teammate's mom.
Yeah.
And that was LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
And now LeBron is sleeping with one of his teammates' moms.
I mean, that could be true. Okay. I mean, we don't know what goes on in their home.
Okay, Chewy, did you not follow the bouncing ball? Did you not follow?
I did. I mean, do you know how many bedrooms LeBron probably has in his house. He and Savannah may choose to sleep in different rooms. I don't know their personal things. I mean,
sleeping,
you know, when
was a
level,
euphemism.
You know,
wink, wink. Yeah.
This is a family show. I listen all the time. I know this is a family show, so we keep it on that level.
All right, Craig, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again very soon.
Yeah, big weekend. You know who's coming to town this weekend?
Me?
Who?
No.
Who?
I mean, you. There's a first place baseball team in the city. Does anyone know about it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know who's coming to town?
The Cubs are in town starting today.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if you were talking about Summerfest.
Honestly,
I don't know, because
could have gone a million different
ways. Yeah, I had no idea.
Last week you were talking about going to see SZA.
It's a Brewers Cubs weekend, and you know, just because we don't have to focus on booing Craig Counsell, I mean, the Brewers are. This is exciting. I mean, this is a big time.
No,
weekend.
There's no juice. No juice whatsoever.
Okay. We talked all night.
10 games back.
Yesterday about the exciting plays the Brewers have been putting together. Don't act like we're sitting over here ignoring the Brewers to talk about Bronny James.
With all the Cubs fans that are in town, Chewy, there's going to be juice. I guarantee it. All right. Thanks to Landworks. Have a good weekend, everybody.
It's Craig Garmison. Mike,
is he a NASCAR driver?
Just want to thank my sponsors. Wouldn't be here without the sponsors. This is so interesting to me because I don't know if people are as outraged as everybody thinks they're outraged. Like, I heard people saying, like, oh, roll of the eyes. Again, Bronny James averaged 5 points per game in 1 year at USC. If Oso Iguodaro doesn't get drafted yesterday and Bronny James does, there's probably outrage. Because that's a guy who put in his time, who worked his tail off, who deserved and was drafted. I want to make sure I'm clear on that. Was drafted, ultimately landed with the Suns yesterday, along with Tyler Kolek, who landed with the New York Knicks. But like, I think that's where people sit there and go, it just doesn't feel great. I'm not losing my mind over it. I'm not sitting here crying nepotism. I have said to you guys before, if my kid wanted to get into this industry, I would try to make it happen for him. I would use my contacts. I would try to pull strings. I would do everything I could to get him into the industry. Once he's in it, he's got to swim, right?
Yeah.
I can't make him swim. He's got to swim in the industry.
Well, it's because it hits close to home. Would Thanasis be on this team if Giannis wasn't?
No. Which, again, I don't have a problem with the Lakers drafting him. I have no problem with LeBron wanting this to happen. I think this is awesome. This is cool. This is something that's never happened in the NBA before, with a father and son both playing on the same team. Like, that's awesome. But the way that it was just kind of, and again, LeBron wanting to do everything that he can to help his kid get in is great. But also, like, then he takes the extra step of making sure that, oh, no, he's only got to be on the team I'm playing.
Yeah, you have to be able to wear the fact that it was orchestrated. If we want to say we don't love that it was orchestrated, we don't love how it was contrived, wear that and be like, fine, who cares?
And also make it seem like, oh, but Bronny's too good for the G League. You know,
yeah.
Like that,
we won't
that's...
sign a two-way deal. Yeah, we won't like, sign a two-way contract.
I think nepotism bothers people because would Game of Thrones Belichick be a coach in the NFL if his dad wasn't one of the greatest coaches ever? Would Andy Reid's kids, who I don't even know if they played football, be coaches? I just think it bothers.
But again,
it bothers,
I think,
people.
Yeah, but that it happens in every level of, I mean, of profession, like, right? Like how many lawyers, their kids become lawyers and then go work at the same firm that their family built up? Or, for example, my dad was an electrician, had his own business. It was his dad's before that. Like, they used to work together. Like, this happens everywhere. That's just kind of the way it is. It's, again, the way, there's just a little something off about the way this was too orchestrated and a little over the top.
Yeah, no, I agree.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We roll on right after this.
Make it easy. Ewald Automotive's grand opening sale for the all-new Ewald Volkswagen Buick GMC. So successful, they've decided to extend the celebration. So that means they're bringing in the same grand opening savings across the entire Ewald Group dealerships. Financing as low as 0%. You can get the lowest lease payments of the year. Great trade-in value as well. That's with over 1,400 vehicles. And the biggest savings in Milwaukee, you know, with Ewald, they always make it easy. So start at ewaldauto.com.
If you love sports betting, you got to make your way to the Sportsbook at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. It has everything a sports fanatic could want and more. Get the ultimate experience with dozens of self-service kiosks, seating for over 200 people, a broadcast booth, a first-class bar, and their new restaurant, The Kitchen, as well as a 2,000-square-foot video wall to watch all of your favorite games. It's a new era of sports betting at Pottawatomie, so get in on the action. Am I wrong about this? Do people actually care, like really deeply in their gut care, that Bronny James was drafted yesterday?
I mean, we'll find out, see what the numbers are from ESPN from the draft, because the second round of the NBA draft, while there are good players, certainly, that have come out of it, Chris Middleton being an example, Bucks have had some good Michael Redd second round picks, but like, I don't think people really care about the second round of the NBA draft, but if people tuned in, I think it was largely because the anticipation of Bronny going 55 to the Lakers. So we'll see if people actually did care and tune in. Again, I think it's something cool, but it doesn't feel genuine, I guess is the best way to put it. It doesn't feel like this was a genuine moment.
Did you really need to do all of the things, all of the machinations, if in fact the Lakers were always going to draft him? It feels like people inside the NBA could have kind of floated that to other teams, like, hey, out of respect for LeBron, the Lakers are going to draft him at 55. You know, he's not going to work out for anybody else. And then you don't have to do all of the things. Yesterday, the threat of, if you draft Bronny James, he's going to Australia, he will not play for your team. I think that might be where people were like, groan, eye roll, enough, we get it, right? It is interesting, though, that Rich Paul and LeBron Chu have as much power as they seemingly do to be able to orchestrate this whole thing the way that they did. Chewy stepped away.
Yeah, I think he's
taking a little break.
He's non-existent.
Perfect. You know what? Since he's taking a break, we will also take a break. What a goof. He just was like, you know what? It's a short segment. They probably won't come to me, so I'm going to go take a bathroom. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on after this.